commentary then is from Revelation chapter 5, and it can be found on page 1236 of the Church Bible. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a man looking as a cat being slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.
I want to remind you all that the cross means to all believers at the beginning of this new year, 2026. I felt I needed to share it so that we remember what is at the very centre of our faith and walk with God. And most of you will have heard of these truths, some of them we'll even sung right now. But sometimes they just need to be renewed as we move on with our lives. And so my title and my message is, "Why is the cross so important?" And verse 9 of that reading you just had says, "For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." And this reminds me, first of all, of the suffering of Christ for our sin. If you open your daily newspaper, if you get them, we only have one on a Saturday, but you will discover many of the awful things that people do to one another. And when I read it some time ago, it did just that. A policewoman shot dead and another seriously injured trying to prevent an armed robbery. Every 13 seconds in this country, a violent crime takes place where somebody hurts another person, maybe because of drugs, alcohol, or carrying knives. And in that particular paper, 100 people were blown to pieces in Moscow in Iraq by a suicide bomber. The paper at that time was full of the report of a trial of two men who murdered a teenager with an axe. He was a Christian who was killed because of racial hatred. Another man was jailed for giving young girls cocaine so that he could sexually abuse them. And these are not isolated incidents, but just a few of the things that are going on every day in our nation because of the sin and evil that's in many human hearts. The cross has been the most prominent symbol of the Christian faith for nearly 2,000 years. And it's a constant reminder of the evil that people can do. This is not people hurting or destroying. The cross is not people hurting or destroying one another. The cross is where representatives of the human race actually torture and put to death their creator. Or as the Apostle Peter puts it, you killed the author of life. The cross brings home to us what it cost God to pay for our sins. We may not believe that we could do some of the awful things that we read about in the newspapers, but the truth is this morning that we all sinned against God. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, this was the price that had to be paid for what we had done. So when I look at the cross, it reminds me of the terrible price that had to be paid for my sins and yours to be forgiven. And some people think that God can just forgive sins, just like that. He cannot. If that were true, the cross would have been so unnecessary. Every sin has a punishment. And Jesus took that punishment for every one of my sins and yours on himself. And secondly, the cross reminds me how much God loves me. In the film Armageddon, I don't know whether you can remember that film, a meteor travelling through space is on a collision course with the Earth. And it's so large that if it hits the Earth, it will destroy the planet. And a team is sent in a space shuttle to intercept the meteor and plant explosives on it to try and change its course so it doesn't come to the Earth. And because of the difficulties that they encounter when they're there, someone has to stay on the meteor to detonate the bomb, and they will lose their life. The man who is chosen by lot from the group that went is quite young, and he's in love with the daughter of the leader of the expedition. And the daughter's father, however, finds a way to trick the young man and take his place. So the father sacrifices his life to save the world from destruction and dies instead of the young man who is in love with his daughter. The Bible says there is no greater love than when a man lays down his life for his friends. And when I see the cross, I remember these words from the book of Romans. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross shows me how much God loves me. When I was not even on speaking terms with Jesus, when I was only concerned with my own desires, when I never even had time for God in my life, and I did so many things that were wrong and broke God's law, God loved me so much that he didn't want me to die and suffer the consequences of my actions. And just like the father in the film Armageddon, Jesus died to save the world, but more than that, he took my place so that I could live forever and have eternal life. And he did it because he loved me and he loved you. Thirdly, the cross reminds me I'm reconciled to God. There's a verse in Colossians that says, yet now God has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Occasionally, I've witnessed one of those very moving scenes that are staged, managed by TV. You know, when a reconciliation takes place between members of a family who for one reason or another have been separated for years, I suppose you can remember some of those if you watch TV. And some years ago, Cilla Black. I'm getting old if I can remember Cilla Black. And she compared such a program called Surprise, Surprise. And somebody wrote to her with a moving story about some children, brothers and sisters, who had been separated from each other when they were very young. And the contact had been lost between them. And it was thought that part of the family and some of those children had been taken to Australia. And for over 30 years or more, they'd not seen their loved ones or even known where they were. And moved by the story, I think maybe you'll say because it increased viewing figures, but anyway, the television company invested time and expense to trace the missing loved ones. And then without the knowledge of the family members in this country, they flew the family members all the way from Australia here to Britain so that the brothers and sisters could be reunited in front of the cameras. And when you see the genuine emotions that flow at such times of reconciliation, like me, you'd be hard-pressed not to shed a tear or two. And when I see the cross, I know it is through Christ's death that the greatest reconciliation in the world has been made possible. No expense, no cost was spared to bring me to my Heavenly Father, to make it possible for you and me to be brought back into the loving arms of God. It means God is no longer at a distance or hard to find. He is no longer unapproachable. The cross has made it possible for every human being to be reunited with God. The cross has bridged the gap between us and God so that we can be united together with Him. Hallelujah. Fourthly, the cross reminds me I've been set free. To Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, it says in Revelation. You know, there's nothing worse than having your life dominated by something awful from which you can't escape. Like an unhappy marriage, but each day is full of pain. And I've come across many of these in my life, in my ministry. A wife who feels no love from her husband, who doesn't know when he will lose his temper and verbally and physically attack her, and feels because she has made vows for better, for worse, she is trapped in that situation. And like those who face being trapped every day at work, who dread going each day because of the way they are treated and because of doing a job that is for them soul destroying. But because they need the money, they feel they're trapped in that situation. Others have habits that so control their lives, it's like living in a nightmare that you can't get away from. Imagine what it must be like for a child who has to suffer abuse, sexual or physical abuse, in their own home from a parent or a grandparent or a relative who's supposed to love them, yet they don't know from day to day when the next abuse will take place. They feel confused, trapped, and there's no way to resolve the situation. Before we were Christians, or should I say before I was a Christian, I was aware of feeling guilt and shame because of many of the things I've done. I just had a sense I should behave in a better way, but no matter how hard I tried, I always failed. And my conscience kept reminding me how guilty I was. I felt trapped by my own weakness. When I look at the cross, I realise that someone died to set me free from my guilt, and to set me free from the things in life that seem to trap me. Through the cross, Jesus has made it possible for a new freedom and power to come into my marriage, my daily life, and bring liberty. Freedom that gives my life a plan and a purpose. Hallelujah. Through the cross, there is a way out of every trap, every situation that holds us in bondage. There is freedom, even from what others would have done to us, however bad it might be. I no longer need to stay bound or trapped because the cross makes a way for me to be free. One of the outcomes of suffering real trauma, abuse or rape, is that we're told that folk who go through these things have to live with it for the rest of their lives. They will never get free from its effects in their memory. But I believe at the cross there is deliverance for the worst traumas anyone could go through. Jesus took not only our sins, but our sorrows as well to the cross. He can heal the brokenhearted and those who have been bruised by life and set them free. And again, I just praise God for the times I've seen people healed from the hurts and emotions that they have carried for years because of what's been done to them in the past. Praise God. Fifthly, the cross reminds me that the worst evil can be overcome. I love to hear stories of somebody who's triumphed over very difficult circumstances. And I remember reading the story in a Christian magazine of a friend of mine who was in Bible college at the same time my wife and I were there. And his name is Jimmy Ritchie. He was a pastor in Northern Ireland. I think, like me, he's now retired. And I can remember watching and observing, when I was in Bible college, the beginnings of his courtship with this secretary, this lady in the Bible college who was the secretary. And they got married. But one day, after 13 years of marriage, the mother of their three children told him she was in love with another man and could not go on living with him, and divorced him. And Jimmy says that in the days that followed, he wondered when the nightmare would end and the pain would ease. There were times when he admits when death seemed preferable to him than the pain he was going through. And as a minister, there is the added loss of knowing, because of what's happened, that your ministry may also be gone, at least for a time. But this Jimmy was encouraged not to give up on his call. Amazingly, his pastoral ministry was eventually restored. And a few years later, God gave him a lovely lady to be his wife, who had also been through difficult and dark days. And the wonderful thing is that all his three children, in spite of the trauma they experienced of seeing their parents separated, they are all Christians and actively all serving God. The enemy did his worst to break up a marriage and destroy a man's ministry and his family, but through God's love, Jimmy has triumphed. And when I look at the cross, I remember the words of Paul in Colossians. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The cross shows that the worst evil can be overcome, has been overcome. And Jesus triumphed over everything Satan threw at him. In fact, because of the cross, Satan has been totally defeated and humiliated. Because of the cross, Satan has had to surrender the keys of death and hell, which are now in the hands of Jesus. Once we belong to Jesus, our lives, our destiny, is in his hands, not the devil's. We share in Christ's victory this morning. Because of the cross, we can overcome all the powers of darkness. We can resist the evil one, and he has to flee from us. Hallelujah. Such is the victory of the cross, that God can change every situation and circumstance in our lives around for good. We know Jesus triumphed at the cross because of the resurrection. Or as the hymn writer says, up from the grave, he rose with a mighty triumph over his foes, or over his foes. Sixth, the cross reminds me to live for Jesus. As a pastor or a retired minister, most of my heroes are men and women who've taken on the responsibility for churches that were almost at the point of closing down, and somehow with God's help have seen those situations transformed. And what many people do not realise is how much pain and suffering is involved for those men and women before they see God's breakthrough. One of my dearest friends, as well as one of my heroes, was a man named John Bedford. And John came from a Methodist background, but after being filled with the Holy Spirit, he accepted the call to be the minister of a Baptist church that had about 25 members. And his first year of leading that church saw the congregation grow, as he puts it, from 25 down to 17. As John sought to lead the people on in God and in the things of the Spirit, there was great opposition and resistance to change, and some people sadly left the church. Those days were full of great heartache for him. But John's love for people and his relationship with God inspired him to bring that church through into a place of real love and fellowship, a place where God's presence was, and power was so present and real in that church. And that church began to reach out and touch lives of the community around them. The church saw a real move of the Spirit and grew in numbers. And eventually even planted out 3 other churches. And John's father heart also enabled him to get alongside other pastors, including myself, and encourage them to bring renewal and growth to their own churches. At times, the reaction to the ministry that wants to lead a church forward is so strong that many men and women have left their calling and given up. John was a man who was inspired to live for Jesus no matter what. And when I look at the cross, I'm reminded of those words from 2 Corinthians. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus Christ has set me free from my guilt and sin. He has put his Spirit into my life to always be with me. Jesus has gone to prepare a place in heaven for me. He's broken down the barrier that existed between me and God. Now I can enjoy a relationship with God as my Father. Jesus has given me eternal life. It will be so much more wonderful than anything I've known in this life. Jesus has gifted me to serve him. And what he has done for me, I know he has done for every one of you who love him this morning. What the cross has done in my life inspires me to live for Jesus. The life I have now is only a drop in the ocean compared with the life to come made possible by the cross. And I don't want to waste this life that Christ has redeemed. I'm getting on a bit now, so I don't know how long I've got left. But I don't want to live selfishly, because I know it does not bring happiness. The greatest happiness is found in serving Jesus. The cross compels me to live this life for him who gave his life for me. He gave me a second chance at life, and I want to live it for him. Does the cross mean so much to you this morning that you want to live every day for Jesus? Finally, the cross reminds me of what is to come. We started this message after reading Revelations 5. Where thousands upon thousands of angels, in fact 10,000 times 10,000 of the heavenly choir, were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." That's at least 10 million angels, if my calculator is correct. There's going to be some great singing in heaven, and some great new songs. According to the book of Revelation, there will be lots of shouting praise to Jesus. I don't know whether cotton wool would be dished out for those who don't like a lot of noise. The theme of heaven's song is the cross. It's likely, though I'm not absolutely sure, that more songs have been inspired by the cross than any other subject. The love of God displayed by the death of the Son is on the cross, has inspired heaven to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." In Revelation 7, we read of a great multitude that no one could count, even with a calculator, from every tribe, people and tongue, standing in heaven and crying out with loud voices, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Time and time again, Jesus is referred to as Lamb because he died as God's Lamb of sacrifice for your sins and mine. And in Revelation 19, again we read of a great multitude shouting these words, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. We, the church, are the Lamb's bride. And in heaven there's going to be a great wedding feast. We will be there because of the cross. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, thank you for the cross. To remind you that the cross is the place Jesus suffered for the punishment of our sins. It's the cross reminds us how much he loves us. The cross reminds us that we've been reconciled to God. Because of the cross, I am set free. Because of the cross, the worst evil can be overcome. The cross challenges me to live for Jesus and reminds me of what I have to look forward to in heaven. And to receive all the benefits of the cross, there's only one condition. We all have to come to the cross and acknowledge the Lord and open our eyes to him. Can we just pray a moment? Father, what I've shared this morning is probably very familiar to most of us, but I pray that it will bring a fresh sense of challenge to me and to all who are here this morning, that how the cross is so important, what you suffered for us to set us free because of your love. Because, Lord, you have a place for us in glory. We thank you for the cross. And I just pray over everyone here this morning that we will fully acknowledge what the cross means in our lives. And if, Lord, there's those who perhaps have struggled or who have perhaps moved away from what they should be because of what you've done, Lord, I pray you draw us back to a place where we're close again to you. And we believe your word. We believe why the cross is so important. And you give us your hearts that will be willing to serve you every day. Hearts that are willing to know that you're with us, Lord, you love us. And you can, through every circumstance in our lives, even the ones that break us, even the ones that are so hard for us to bear, that even out of that brokenness, you can bring new life. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I just pray for this church who have had brokenness recently because of the loss of Diane, that somehow even out of that brokenness, you will bring revival. You'll bring a real move of your spirit that will touch this church and this community. And I pray that, Lord,